WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Last week, our rock historian Ed Ward looked back at where rock music was 30 and 40 years ago, just before the Beatles and Elvis revolutionized the scene. Well, 1973 in rock was anything but revolutionary. Ed Ward says he didn't think he had many fond memories of the year until recently.
I used to joke that I couldn't remember several years in the 70s at all, 1973 and 74 chief among them. But when I sat down with a list of 1973's top records, I realized that I did, in fact, remember the year better than I'd let on, and with more affection than I'd thought. It's not nostalgia, though. It's just that 1973 was a year when lines were being drawn, and I'd soon find myself on the wrong side of nearly all of them. It was a year just before FM radio got all but unlistenable, and a year when AM radio still had its occasional gem. Very superstitious, writings on the wall.
Very superstitious, letters about to fall. 13 months old baby. Stevie Wonder, for instance, had the best year of his life with 4 top 10 singles, which ranged from the clavinet-driven light funk of Superstition to a straight-ahead pop song that could have come from any era of pop music.
You are the sunshine of my life. That's why I'll always be around.
You are the
Elton John was never a favorite of mine, but again, he was capable of great pop moments in 1973.
Britain, in fact, still held a lot of clout on the airwaves, and all 4 Beatles had top 10 records in 1973, 3 of them number ones. One of them was Ringo's, believe it or not.
Thank you.
John Lennon's Mind Games that didn't make it to the top, by the way. If there's a common thread that runs through 1973's top records, it's production. Recording technology had expanded like never before. Everybody, from Stevie Wonder to Elton John's producer Gus Dudgeon to Arif Mardin, who produced another number one this year, Roberta Flack's Killing Me Softly with his song, and would soon guide the Bee Gees to disco heaven, was flexing those studio muscles. All of which meant that the guitar-based drum sound the Beatles had ushered in a decade ago was relegated to the FM side of the spectrum, where DJs with superior attitudes played bands like Led Zeppelin, The who single-handedly bankrupted the rock opera this year with Quadrophenia, Yes with two albums, Yes Songs and Tales of Topographic Oceans, Jethro Tull, and Queen, who debuted this year. In retrospect, though, this stuff seems as turgid and overproduced as anything on AM. And to be fair, some of it was even good. Roxy Music, along with David Bowie, who was just starting his rise to fame, were going to prove to be influential long after a lot of the FM noise of 1973 was long gone. It was all British, you'll notice. America was still suffering from an inferiority complex, and it wouldn't be until next year that bands like Kiss would raise the nation from its mellow doldrums. Meanwhile, the U.S. was putting out great black music, even though the Motown empire was falling apart and Stax was a dead issue. Much of it came from Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff and their Philadelphia studios, which were making great records by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes and the OJs. No, things in 1973 weren't as bad as I remembered. On the other hand, looking at the lists of hits for the years to come, I can see that it got a lot worse before it got better.